Today we want to begin a series on future events. What does the future hold? Now, often when we ask that question, we're looking at the immediate future. You know, what does the future hold for my family? What is the future? Where will I be next year? Or what will I be doing? Or what will be different? Will this car hang in there one more year? You know, do I need to fix this? Or most of the time our thoughts are more towards the immediate. But there is a plan that God has revealed for the history of man in the Scriptures. And all of us will someday stand before God. That is made very clear. Believers will stand before Him in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and give an account. And also the unsaved, both great and small, will stand before God someday, Revelation 20, verse 12, and give an account to God. Now, there are two separate events, and the purpose is different. We'll look at that at a later date. But God has the future all planned out, just as He's had the past all planned out. So, only those that place their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the atonement, the only atonement for our sins, can experience salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is that? Well, because for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not religion, it is not being good, it is not having our own philosophy. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good, especially when our philosophy changes. You know, when you were younger, you felt a certain way about things, and as you've gotten older, you feel a different way about things. For example, when you were younger, a kid, you were like, why don't adults listen? And as an adult, why don't kids listen? You know, our perspective changes. But God doesn't change, and His plan of salvation has always been the same. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where He died on as an atonement for our sins. There's no help, past, present, or future, without the cross, without Christ. So what lies ahead, and what is God's plan? Well, in order to find that out, I need to review a little bit of history, and that's what our Bible chart does here. I spent the week putting this together and giving you some dates. There are distinctions in this between dispensations, between covenants. I have in here Christian crowns, what we expect for rewards. I have the timing of the events. I'll explain why I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture instead of the pre-wrath rapture. We have the creation week. I believe in a literal creation. We'll go into that briefly. And also the events of the tribulation. I gave you a complete outline of the book of Revelation here in this as well. So all of these events are here and they're before us. But we go all the way back to the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we note in Genesis chapter 1. I'll try to keep this moving, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice there is a God, and time began with God. God always existed, but when He set things in motion, you have the diurnal rotation of the earth, and you have time. God is outside the bounds of time, but there's a definite beginning for human history, and that began with the beginning of the rotation of the earth, which was about 4000 BC. Now, what do we base that upon? We base that upon several things. One, God speaks of first day, second day, third day, fourth day. If you believe in the timeline of the Scriptures, like you believe in the literal nature of the Scriptures, even if you're trying to say, well, these are huge periods of time, the day may be a million years. The problem with that is you have plant life before you have solar life. So how long does your lawn stay green if you cover it with a tarp? A week? A couple days? We put the kids' wading pool out there. I lift it up. I always have these burnt spots in the lawn from the pool, and it's only there for like the weekend. What we'll notice is that creation, if you believe in the scriptures and you accept the order that God has given us, then you realize these cannot be time periods. They have to be relatively short. And this is even without the study of the word yom or day, which unless it's provided with another, like day of the Lord or where you're given a number, it means a 24-hour period. So unless it's stated that way, we know it means something else. So here we are. They're 24-hour days. And we see what God did. He created on day one light, time, matter. You know, the building blocks that we use in our closed system. In Genesis 1, 3 through 5. On day 2, we have the Earth's atmosphere. We start seeing a separation of the water, we start seeing water and then the Earth's atmosphere. Difference between the sky above and then this body of water. Next, on day 3, we see dry land and plants. Genesis 1, 9 through 13. Now, I have to tell you, all of this is culminating to the pinnacle of creation, which is mankind. God made us in His image. Didn't make the animals in His image. He made us in His image. And that's important to remember. We see also the stellar or solar bodies, the sun, moon, and stars on day 4. So we have this, even though God created light, which was probably His presence, the earth did not have the sun, moon, and stars until we get to day 4. Now, some people argue that it just didn't show up till day 4. I argue that it wasn't created till day 4 because the scriptures are very clear. God hung these stars in space. And we see in the book of Job, when the stars were hung in space, that's when the angels rejoiced. So the angels had to have been created between day 1 and day 4. Some people say, well, weren't they created long before this? The scriptures are very clear. There was nothing before this. Colossians reveals this. There was nothing other than God. So we see that we have these stellar bodies, sun, moon, and stars. Angels are present at this time, so we don't know what day they were created on, but we do know by day 4 they were there. And that includes Lucifer, who was son of the morning, the bright star. He hadn't fallen yet, just so you know. Day 5, this is found in Genesis 1. We have verses 20 through 23. We have the sea creatures and the flying creatures. Now, I know evolutionists would argue that that the fish became birds and, you know, there was a cross in there somehow of the wings on these little dinosaurs and things. You know, we don't see that in the scriptures. And also the record within the rocks isn't there either. There's no link to this. So we have sea creatures and flying creatures, Genesis 1, 20 through 23. I don't know why God lumps them together, but He does. And then day 6 was a busy day. We have land animals. Adam went ahead in Genesis chapters 1, verses 24 to 28, and he names the creatures and finds that there's not a helpmate suitable for Adam. He's all alone. He's one of a kind. And that's why God had him name the animals. Go over all the different species. Well, species is a term that we would come up with. But go over all the different kinds of animal and realize he's alone. He is the only one of his kind. So then God had a special act. He basically knocked Adam out, performed the first operation, so Adam takes the first nap and wakes up, and we have the first woman taken from his side. Now, it doesn't mean men have one less rib than women. Adam did, but not the rest of us. Adam, did he have a belly button? Theologians argue back and forth. I don't know if he needed one. All I know is that when Adam appeared on the scene, he was a full-sized man. He had the appearance of age. Now, by the way, if God can make a man and a woman with the appearance of age, it's no big feat for Him to make the rocks appear older than they are, just so you know. So we have here land animals, Adam and Eve. In chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, we have Adam saying, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman." In other words, from man. From man. He wasn't giving a 60s version of, whoa, man! He was saying, you know, woman, she is from man. So here we are, land animals. And on day seven, we have a day of rest. This was not because God was tired. He was giving man the example that they need one day to set aside for God. One day a week. You've got six to make money. One day belongs to God. And I have to tell you, if you talk to some of the older people in our church, they'll tell you, oh, Sunday, when Sunday came around, you didn't sew, you didn't play sports, you didn't do anything. You sat there and maybe you read a little bit or you talked with the family about God. You didn't mow the lawn, you didn't do all the extras. Today, it's a free day, and God is the last thing on our thoughts. If it's a sunny day, you go out, you know. Hey, God gave me so many sunny days, and it happens to be this one. And God's not so important to us anymore, and He should be. Even in creation, He set the pattern. God first. He set the pattern. Now, in the garden, there were a couple trees. I only put one here for the sake of room, but you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then you have the tree of life. And Adam and Eve were told, don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, fall came early that year, because Adam and Eve sinned. And I've said this to you many times, it wasn't the apple in the tree, it was the pear on the ground. They did not listen to God. Adam was right there. Some people argue that Adam wasn't there. He would have known better. And Adam wasn't, he was off someplace doing men things, you know, working the garden, whatever. We don't see that in the scriptures. Eve took the fruit, saw that it was good, and turned and gave it to her husband. He was standing there the whole time. He was standing there the whole time. She was deceived, New Testament reveals. Eve was deceived. Adam, on the other hand, made a conscious choice to disobey God. And because of that, in Adam, all descendants of Adam will be born spiritually dead. At this time, up till this time, they were born with a relationship with God, or Adam and Eve had that relationship. Adam and Eve broke this. Now, theologically, you have the federal headship of Adam, the seminal headship of Adam. Which one is it? Theologians argue this back and forth. Was he the elected representative as the federal head? Well, who chose Adam to be the head? I didn't. How can he be the captain of the team? And the others argue that it's the seminal headship of Adam because we proceed from Adam. I think it's very simple to figure this out. My grandfather actually worked in Hiroshima right after the bombing. When the Japanese surrendered, his unit was dismissed. He had to stay another 3 months because he came to the war a little bit later. Right after Pearl Harbor, they took all these guys from New York and moved them out to Oregon and put them in the Oregon Division and mixed up the units. And so he ended up in there, but they came 3 months after Pearl Harbor. Their training took place in there. And so he had to stay an extra 3 months. Well, what did he do? He was an officer, and here he was supervising the removal of munitions in Hiroshima, or one of the men that was involved in that. And here he is walking around the radioactive dust and taking pictures and keeping track of things. You know what? Even though the people that weren't there, generations after the bombing, people that weren't there, their offspring still had side effects of the bombing. Two and three generations later, children were born with deformities because their parents or grandparents had been exposed to the radiation. Now, just so you know, my father was born before the war. My uncle was born before the war. Any defects I have are not the result of radiation. Just so you're wondering. That's his problem. Now, my hair fell out naturally. Anyhow, actually, it's my kid's fault. Anyway, well, that's another story. But so what we see here is that those descendants were affected even though they weren't there. We are in Adam. We have been affected by Adam's sin. In Adam all die. We're born in sin. Now God, not willing that any should perish, sent His Son to die for us, that we might receive salvation. He made the sacrifice. But it only applies to those that come to Him for salvation. It's not covering those that reject Christ. I personally believe that those we would call under the age of innocence, those that are incapable of making a decision. Not those that have lived a life and then have chosen not to come to God, but those born with certain mental issues where they can't make that decision. I believe they're covered by the blood of Christ. I believe that the original sin was dealt with by Adam or by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I believe it was dealt with at that time. I don't believe that baptism erases that or removes that. I believe that has come as a result of Christ's sacrifice, just in case you're wondering. But what we have here is the fall of Adam and Eve. And they were kicked out of the garden, removed from the garden, and the Bible's very clear here, because of their sin in Genesis chapter 3, they're cursed. The serpent is cursed to lick the dust of the ground. Snakes lick the dust of the ground to find direction. And they're cursed above all the cattle of the field, and dust you're going to eat the rest of your days. There's going to be enmity between the serpent and the woman. An offspring that she has will crush Satan's head, even though it will bruise her heel. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on the cross bruised him. It was temporary. It was not a permanent death. And he came back alive. But Satan's power has been broken, especially in the lives of believers. And the day will come when he will be cast into the lake of fire forever. We see that the woman herself, her sorrow has been greatly multiplied, and thy conception. Because mankind was going to live forever, I don't know if they would have had a child every 50 years. I don't know if they would have had a child every 20 years. I don't know how that would have worked. But now, the time period that a woman can have a child is much more limited. The number of children she might be able to have during that time period is limited. And God sped all this up because of the fact that we aren't living as long. So, and also sorrow and pain involved in all of this that didn't happen before. So this is, and she also is going to have to lean upon her husband as the leader. It is a natural thing to rebel against that, but that's where it all came from in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3. Unto Adam, guess what? If you ever go outside and you're doing heavy and hard work and you're sweating and it's mosquitoes love you, it all is because of this. And so unto Adam, guess what? Because you listened and you didn't make a conscious decision that was right, guess what? You're going to have to work the ground. You're going to, and it's not going to produce like it's supposed to. Your weeds are going to grow, thorns and thistles. And guess what? You're going to have to make your living from the sweat of your brow. Verse 19. And when it's all said and done, from dust you've been made, and dust you're going to return. Death now comes upon mankind. Before this, there was no death. Are you saying to me, how can that be possible? Evolution survives on death. Christianity survives on life. We see that before the fall of Adam and Eve, there was no death. The dinosaurs that existed at that time didn't eat one another, but they had sharp teeth. So does my dog. And he basically eats cereal, you know, dog food today with flavoring. You don't have to have meat to survive. In fact, the fruit bat has a very sharp teeth, and yet it eats what? Fruit. That's all it eats, fruit. But the sharp teeth are to break open the skin on the fruit. So we see that there was no death. Once Adam and Eve sinned, death and disease and cancer and pain and sorrow actually kind of hit the universe. Can you imagine Adam and Eve, for the first time in their lives, they experienced such fear that they hid from their Creator God? They tried to, the first act of religion is when they tried to cover their sins and their actions by sewing fig leaves together. That isn't going to make it. That didn't last. But that's them trying to deal with their sin. mankind is just as foolish today. We do all kinds of things, prayers and repetition, religious acts, sometimes just vain acts to appease Almighty God. I knew someone that would wash their hands again and again and again, 10, 11, 12 times in a row in order to be clean. Their hands were clean, but their soul was still dirty. Their soul was still lost. Well, after Adam and Eve, you know the story, Cain and Abel came along, and one killed the other. The first parents of twin boys here, the first parents, what happens? They go ahead, chapter 4 of Genesis, they go ahead, one's a murderer and the other's a murder victim. Horrible situation. It must have hit them in the face how bad their sin was early on. Adam, you follow Adam's history and the history of man, and the sin that followed, Adam could have known Noah's father. Could maybe have even spoke to Noah, but age-wise probably knew Noah's father and spoke with him. So you have a long time period there. These people lived for a very long time period before you have a change in the Earth's atmosphere. Remember, you have no genetic problems. You don't have the pollutants we have today. You don't have the hybridized foods that we have today. You don't have the sedentary life. Today, if you want to go someplace, you get in your car and you go. Back then, you want to go someplace, you walk. And you work when the sun's up and you go to bed when the sun goes down. The average person, I think, watches 6 to 7 hours of TV a day. That really surprised me. Probably we'd be better if we hooked up an exercise bike to the TV, you know. Not going to happen, but probably we would be better if we did that. But anyhow, what we notice here is that mankind got progressively worse. You know, we think with time we get better, we get smarter, and then along comes ISIS, and we realize, oh yeah, there's still bad people in the world. And some of these bad people have doctorates, and they're educated, and they're still bad. So it's not a matter of education, it's a matter of the soul. Well, the same thing was in the days of Noah. People got bad. In chapter 6, we see that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And what's happening here, and some people believe there's angels involved, I actually would argue that you have Seth's line and Cain's line intermarrying, and you have the first situation where non-believers and believers are intermarrying, and you have basically very powerful warlords that are established to put the two groups together, but the problem is they draw a lot of people away from God. And so the whole human race now is polluted, not listening to God, and God basically says, I'm not going to strive with man any longer. I've had it. I've given them close to 2,000 years to repent and to get things right with me, and it's been downhill. Well, what we see here is God found a godly man named Noah who was still living for God. Noah and his sons ended up building an ark. It took them many years to put it together. They built an ark, and all who wanted to listen to God, who believed in God, got in that ark. They had a massive number of about eight souls that got into that ark out of all of humanity that was alive at the time. And there were millions, if you multiply it out, there would have been millions of people on the earth. Also, God had them put two of every kind. When we say kind, you don't have to get every dog out there. You know, you got big ones, little ones, in between ones. You get two canines, male and female, probably young. You get pachyderms. You get two elephants, probably juveniles. You get two of those in there, and you put them in the ark. You don't have to have the Asian elephant and the African elephant, and then this weird little dwarf elephant. You don't have to. You just get two of each. You know, two of the kind of elephants. With cows, you don't have to have Guernsey, Holstein, what else? Jersey. Oh, how could I forget Jersey here? You don't have to get Brahmin. You don't have to get all those different kinds. You just get two bovine. you know, to whether they're buffalo or water buffalo or domesticated, just get two of them, male and female, and all the offspring would be reproduced from that. If you go to your veterinarian, you'll look on the wall as your dog's in there getting the shots, thanking you for that. You'll probably see a chart, and the dogs go back to a wolf-type dog about 4,000 years ago. Isn't that surprising? Because that's about how long ago the flood occurred. The oldest tree that is found on the planet is about 4,000 years old, 2,000 years before Christ. The Great Barrier Reef off the northern coast of Australia. They figured after World War II, when ships were being there and they were tearing up the Great Barrier Reef with their anchors, and, you know, we're in a war, and they didn't necessarily care about what happened to the barrier reef just as long as they could anchor and fend off attacks. Well, what happened? Now they've been able to find out how fast it repairs. Guess what? The Great Barrier Reef is about 4,000 years old. Now, it's not a coincidence all these things are about 4,000 years old. They go back to a common time period, a common denominator. Why is it that in upstate New York, as a boy, I would find seashells, you know, in stone on the top of the mountain? I loved it as a kid. My mother had a yard full of all these rocks around the flower bed that I would bring home. And it's like, oh no, you and your brother again, you know, come back with more rocks. And they were pretty good size. Seashells in them, sometimes little fish in them, snails in them, all these different designs. How is that possible on top of a mountain? How is that possible? It was flooded at one time. It was flooded at one time. Now, I know that the mountains rose up, especially even in the Rockies. It was pushed up as the land masses moved and were changed. But what we notice here is that man was wicked. The earth was flooded. A catastrophic flood occurred. They even have and this is amazing to me, there is even a fossil of a fish giving birth. A mother fish giving birth. Now, how long does it take a mother fish to give birth? To these eggs. How long is that going to happen? Millions and millions of years. It's not going to be around. This had to have been happening, and catastrophic event covered it and smushed it, and therefore we have it. You know, years ago, you ever remember Sinclair gasoline? When I was a kid, I even had one of those dinosaurs. My dad used to pump gas there to make extra cash. And I remember being told as a kid, these dinosaurs they died, got crushed, and now they're the oil that you put in your car. Oh! Nowadays, they're not telling you that. Well, what we see is that mankind was terribly wicked, and God had to bring calamity upon the earth, and He did. And if it wasn't for Noah living for God, I wonder if God would have said, okay, we're done. But God had a different plan. He always keeps a remnant, just so you know. Later, we have the Tower of Babel. It didn't take long. After Adam and Eve, and then Noah and his wife, Mrs. Noah, what's her name? Mrs. Noah, we don't know what her name is in the Bible. After Adam and Eve, and then the sin, and then we have Noah and his family, it's not long before man goes into sin again. We have a fellow named Nimrod, who rises up to power. Nimrod means mighty hunter, and what we see of Nimrod is this. Nimrod is, here he is, he tries to organize people. You know, God told Noah's family, be fruitful, multiply, and just the same as he did Adam and Eve, but now he says spread throughout the earth. I want you guys to spread out, like the Three Stooges, spread out. You need to move out. And what did Adam and Eve do instead? Or not Adam and Eve. What did the people after the flood do instead? They decided to build a big tower. So no matter how far they went, they could see that big tower and get right back to the center of things. And God basically said to mankind, there's nothing, God said, you know, we made man this way, and now man is, there's nothing they're not going to listen. They're going to keep doing things their own way. We're going to mix up their languages. You can thank Nimrod for the fact that you have to take Spanish class. Or the fact that you have to take language classes because God mixed up the languages in order to mix up the different groups and spread them out. So then, not long after that, we have a fellow named Abram. Abram is growing up in Ur of the Chaldees, basically Iraq, Iran, part of the world, and same area that the Tower of Babel was in. Abram was there. He's called father, and he and his wife Sarai, they couldn't have any children. God called him and said, follow me, and I'll take you to a place where I'm going to bless you, and the land's going to be yours. I'm going to develop a mighty people from you. Abram listened and followed God. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the patriarchs. Now, following Abraham, shortly after Abraham, they end up going down to Egypt, and they're down there almost 400 years, and it wasn't long before the Hyksos kings enslaved the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, the people across the river, as it's called, the cross the river Hebrew. And here they are down there, and what occurs is they are taken prisoner. Joseph's down there, his family descended, the whole group's down there. They have forgotten Joseph. They have forgotten all that the Jewish people have done for them. And now they have enslaved the people. And it was bitter. It was a hard and difficult time. What occurs now is God calls a man named Moses. Moses. Moses means up from the water. And here he is. He's there, he goes and speaks to Pharaoh and basically says, let my people go. God has a plan and you're not in it, so let my people go. God had to deliver 10 separate plagues. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. Now I mention these and I put these in there, even though I don't have a picture of Moses, I put these in there because many of these plagues are going to appear in the tribulation as well. Just so you know, many of these are repeated later on. So we see that God finally gets the people of Israel released. They are released. We have the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments that are given on Mount Sinai, and that is God's standard. Now, could people be saved before the Ten Commandments were given? Yes, of course they could. Romans reveals to us that Abraham was saved because he placed his faith in God and it was counted as righteousness. And this is almost 400 years before the Mosaic Law. So the law cannot save you, nor was it designed to. It's just God's guideline of what his standard is. Well, what is God's standard? Number one, God first. God first, you're to have no other gods before me. If there was no other commandment but that one, we'd still be in trouble. God first. Second, and I used to do this with the kids at school, and that's the only way. I have to do hand gestures to memorize things. Second, no idols. No idols. No idols. You're to have no other god before me. Cut the idols. So God is first, no idols. Third, watch your words. Third, watch your words. Do not take the name of God in vain. Do not take the name of God in vain. Unfortunately, that's, I don't know why people, when they hit their thumb, don't go, oh, Buddha. But we take God's name in vain because it's a name with power. So watch your words. Do not take God's name in vain. The fourth command, two people walking side by side. Keep the Sabbath day holy. They used to walk temple or to the tabernacle. You are to keep, today it's the synagogue, but you are to honor the day of the Lord and to keep it holy. Number five, I tell my kids, this is my favorite commandment. Honor thy father and mother. You know, yes sir. Honor thy father and mother. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit murder. All right, you're not to commit murder. You know, bang, you're not to commit murder. Seventh commandment, you are to remain a virgin until married. No premarital sex. No adultery. You're to remain faithful. Number eight. Eighth commandment's kind of interesting because in the olden days when people used to steal and stuff, they cut off a finger. I guess if you're in the Middle East, in some places, they still cut off a finger. But they cut off a finger. This is a two-time loser. He stole things and got caught twice, okay? Thou shalt not steal. Number nine. If you have nine people saying something and one person saying something else, they're not telling the truth, okay? Thou shalt not lie. By the way, the truth is always the same. Thou shalt not lie. So no lying. And finally, this one I get from two-year-olds. Mine! Mine! Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. So God's standard was given. How well did the nation of Israel keep that law? How well do we keep those standards? Because those standards are written in our heart in the New Testament. We don't have to have the law. We have Christ, and because of that, we're supposed to, number one, keep God first. We're supposed to, you know, have no idols. We're supposed to not take God's name in vain. We're to set time aside for God on during the week or every day even. We're to honor those in authority over us, especially our parents. We're not to commit murder. Jesus said you're not even to you know, wish your brother was dead, which if you've had siblings, you probably violated that. You're not to be immoral. You're not to steal. You're not to lie. And you're not to be covetous. Those are things that are to be written in our heart as believers. And yet we violate those all the time. Well, we're going to continue on with this at another date because God sent judges to help the nation of Israel keep it straight for 300 years. And they didn't always listen. God sent kings to rule over the people. That's what they wanted. And they didn't always listen. Out of all the kings, there were only about nine of them that were decent. And that's after the nation split, northern and southern. About eight, probably eight of them. One guy he was great when he was young. When he became older, he actually killed the son of the man that protected him when he was a baby. And then we have the prophets. And pre-exilic, exilic, and post-exilic. These are before the exile, the Babylonian captivity. And yet the nation of Israel did not listen. They did not listen. Much of like we do today. I want you to think about this. How many times in your life have your parents, if they were Christians, or even non-Christians, say to you, when you get older, don't do this. When I'm not around, don't do that. Hey, when I'm not looking, if you're going to take the car, I want you to. And how fast is it before we violate the very things that we're told not to do? Sometimes on the way out the door. You know? On the way out the door. Or we think if we cross our fingers, we're safe. You know, our heart is desperately wicked. What is the solution for future events? Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen in your personal life tomorrow. And if anybody tells you, you know, you can have guesses. If, for example, if you haven't changed your oil in 3 years, I'll tell you probably in the next month or so, if not sooner, you're going to have a happening with your car because it's just not going to keep going. One guy told me, he goes, but I got a Toyota. They just keep running. And I said, not without oil. You know, when was the last time you changed it? 37,000 miles ago. No wonder I hear metal grinding. You know, my friends, God has a plan for us, and His divine plan is laid out before mankind. Next week, by God's grace, we're going to do a little bit more. We'll stop here at the first coming of Christ, because He came in the fullness of time, to bring salvation. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never placed your hope and your faith and trust in Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till the tribulation comes and say, okay, I'll repent now. Today is the day of salvation. You need to come to Him. You need to repent of your sins. That is, turn from your sins. Ask God to save you. He has promised that He will save all who come to Him. There is a day, though, that He's made it very clear that He will not be found. He will not be found. So call on the Lord while He may be found. Heavenly Father, we ask that You might work, continue to guide, continue to direct as we look at Your Word and encourage us accordingly, that Your name would be praised. And Lord, we pray, if anyone here doesn't know You, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day they need to come to You and place their faith and trust in You. Lord, even now our hope is in You. Even though we don't know what's going to happen with the stock market, we don't know what the immediate brings, our own health, we place our hope and trust in You for the eternal future. Bless us, Lord. As our God, bless us. In Christ's name, amen.